Don't know where she is. If we do find her, though, I don't know what we'll do.
I can help you find a rehab facility near you, Mama says. She's gotta wanna get clean, though.
Miss Tammy nods, and that's the problem. But I think this will either push her to finally get help or push her over the edge. I hope it's the former.
Cameron holds his grandma's hand as he leads her into the living room, like she's the queen of the world in a house coat. She looks thinner, but strong for somebody going through chemo and all of this. A scarf wrapped around her head adds to her majesty, an African queen, and we're blessed to be in her presence. The rest of us stand. Mama hugs Cameron and kisses one of his chubby cheeks. Khalil called him Chipmunk because of them, but he'd check anybody stupid enough to call his little brother fat. Daddy gives Cameron a palm slap that ends in a hug.
What's up, man? You okay?
Yes, sir. A big wide smile spreads across Ms. Rosalie's face. She holds her arms out, and I walk into the most heartfelt hug I've ever gotten from somebody who's not related to me. There's not any sympathy in it either, just love and strength. I guess she knows I need some of both.
My baby, she says.
She pulls back and looks at me, tears brimming in her eyes.
Went and grew up on me.
She hugs my parents, too. Miss Tammy lets her have the recliner. Miss Rosalie pats the end of the sofa closest to her, so I sit there. She holds my hand and rubs her thumb along the top of it.
She says.
It's like my hand is telling her a story and she's responding. She listens to it for a while, then says,
I'm so glad you came over. I've been wanting to talk to you.
Yes, ma'am, I say what I'm supposed to.
You were the very best friend that boy ever had.
This time, I can't say what I'm supposed to. Ms. Rosalie, we weren't as close.
I don't care, baby, she says. Khalil never had another friend like you. I know that for a fact.
I swallow. Yes, ma'am.
The police told me you were the one with him when it happened.
So she knows. Yes, ma'am. I'm standing on a track, watching the train barrel toward me, and I tense up and wait for the impact, the moment she asks what happened. But the train shifts to another track.
Maverick, he wanted to talk to you. He wanted your help.
Daddy straightens up.
For real?
Uh-huh. He was selling that stuff.
Something leaves me. I mean, I kind of figured it, but to know it's the truth, this hurts. But I swear I want to cuss Khalil out. How could he sell the very stuff that took his mama from him? Did he realize that he was taking somebody else's mama from them? Did he realize that if he does become a hashtag, some people will only see him as a drug dealer? He was so much more than that.
But he wanted to stop, Miss Rosalie says. He told me, Grandma, I can't stay in this. Mr. Maverick said it only leads to two things, the grave or prison, and I ain't trying to see either. He respected you, Maverick, a lot. You were the father he never had.
I can't explain it, but something leaves Daddy, too. His eyes dim, and he nods. Mama rubs his back.
Now, I tried to talk some sense into him, Ms. Rosalie says, but this neighborhood makes young men deaf to their elders. The money part didn't help. He was going around here paying bills, buying sneakers and mess. But I know he remembered the things you told him over the years, Maverick, and that gave me a lot of faith.
I keep thinking if only he had another day or...
Miss Rosalie covers her trembling lips. Miss Tammy starts for her, but she says,
I'm okay, Tam.
She looks at me.
I'm happy he wasn't alone, but I'm even happier you were with him. That's all I need to know. Don't need details, nothing else. Knowing you were with him is good enough.
Like Daddy, all I can do is nod. But as I hold Khalil's grandma's hand, I see the anguish in her eyes. His little brother can't smile anymore. So what if people end up thinking he was a thug and never care? We care. Khalil matters to us, not the stuff he did. Forget everybody else. Mama leans across me and sets an envelope in Miss Rosalie's lap. We want you to have that. Miss Rosalie opens it and I catch a glimpse of a whole lot of money inside.
What in the world? Y'all know I can't take this.
Yes, you can, Daddy says. We ain't forgot how you kept Star and Sakani for us. We weren't about to let you be empty-handed.
And we know y'all are trying to pay for the funeral, Mama says. Hopefully that'll help. Plus, we're raising money around the neighborhood, too. So don't you worry about a thing. Miss Rosalie wipes a new set of tears from her eyes.
I'm gonna pay y'all back every penny.
Did we say you had to pay us back?
Daddy asks.
You focus on getting better, all right? And if you give us any money, we giving it right back. God's my witness.
There are a lot more tears and hugs. Miss Rosalie gives me a freeze cup for the road, red syrup glistening on the top. She always makes them extra sweet. As we leave, I remember how Khalil used to run up to the car when I was about to go, the sun shining on the grease lines that separated his cornrows. The glimmer in his eyes would be just as bright. He'd knock on the window, I'd let it down, and he'd say, with a snaggletooth grin, "See you later, alligator." Back then, I'd giggle behind my own snaggle teeth. Now I tear up. Goodbyes hurt the most when the other person's already gone. I imagine him standing at my window and I smile, for his sake. After a while, crocodile. 5. On Monday, the day I'm supposed to talk to the detectives, I'm crying out of nowhere. Hunched over my bed as the iron in my hand spits out steam. Mama takes it before I burn the Williamson crest on my polo. She rubs my shoulder. Let it out, Munch. We have a quiet breakfast at the kitchen table without Seven. He spent the night at his mama's house. I pick at my waffles. Just thinking about going into that station with all those cops makes me want to puke. Food would make it worse. After breakfast, we join hands in the living room like we always do, under the framed poster of the 10-point program, and Daddy leads us in prayer.
Black Jesus, watch over my babies today,
he says.
Keep them safe, steer them from wrong, and help them recognize snakes from friends. Give them the wisdom they need to be their own people. Help Seven with this situation at his mama's house, and let him know he can always come home. Thank you for Sakani's miraculous sudden healing that just so happened to come after he found out they're having pizza at school today.
I peek out at Sakani, whose eyes and mouth are open wide. I smirk and close my eyes.
Be with Lisa at the clinic as she helps your people. Help my baby girl get through her situation, Lord. Give her peace of mind, and help her speak her truth this afternoon. And lastly, strengthen Ms. Rosalie, Cameron, Tammy, and Brenda as they go through this difficult time. In your precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen, the rest of us say. Daddy, why you put me on the spot like that with Black Jesus? Sakani complains.
He knows the truth,
Daddy says. He wipes crust from the corners of Sakani's eyes and straightens the collar of his polo.
I'm trying to help you out, get you some mercy or something, man.
Daddy pulls me into a hug.
You gonna be all right?
I nod into his chest. Yeah. I could stay like this all day. It's one of the few places where 115 doesn't exist, and where I can forget about talking to detectives. But Mama says we need to leave before rush hour. Now, don't get it wrong. I can drive. I got my license a week after my 16th birthday. But I can't get a car unless I pay for it myself. I told my parents I don't have time for a job with school and basketball. They said I don't have time for a car then either. Messed up. It takes 45 minutes to get to school on a good day, and an hour on a slow one. Sakani doesn't have to wear his headphones because Mama doesn't cuss anybody out on the freeway. She hums with gospel songs on the radio and says, "Give me strength, Lord, give me strength." We get off the freeway into Riverton Hills and pass all these gated neighborhoods. Uncle Carlos lives in one of them. To me, it's so weird to have a gate around a neighborhood. Seriously, are they trying to keep people out or keep people in? If somebody puts a gate around Garden Heights, it'll be a little bit of both. Our school is gated too, and the campus has new modern buildings with lots of windows and marigolds blooming along the walkways. Mama gets in the carpool lane for the lower school. Sakani, you remembered your iPad? Yes, ma'am. Lunch card? Yes, ma'am. Gym shorts, and you better have gotten the clean ones, too. Yes, Mama, I'm almost 9. Can't you give me a little credit? She smiles. All right, big man. Think you can give me some sugar? Sakani leans over the front seat and kisses her cheek. Love you. Love you, too. And don't forget, Seven's bringing you home today. He runs over to some of his friends and blends in with all the other kids in khakis and polos. We get in the carpool lane from my school. All right, Munch, Mama says. Seven's gonna bring you to the clinic after school. Then you and I will go to the station. Are you absolutely sure you're up for it? No, but Uncle Carlos promised it'll be okay. I'll do it. Okay. Call me if you don't think you can make it the whole day at school. Hold up, I could have stayed home? Why are you making me come in the first place? 'Cause you need to get out the house, out that neighborhood. I want you to at least try, Star. This will sound mean, but just because Khalil's not living doesn't mean you stop living. You understand, baby? Yeah, I know she's right. But it feels wrong. We get to the front of the carpool line. Now, I don't have to ask if you brought some funky-ass gym shorts, do I? She says. I laugh. No. Bye, Mama. Bye, baby. I get out the car. For at least 7 hours, I don't have to talk about 115. I don't have to think about Khalil. I just have to be normal Star at normal Williamson and have a normal day. That means flipping the switch in my brain, so I'm Williamson Star. Williamson Star doesn't use slang. If a rapper would say it, she doesn't say it, even if her white friends do. Slang makes them cool. Slang makes her hood. Williamson Star holds her tongue when people piss her off, so nobody will think she's the angry black girl. Williamson Star is approachable. No stank eyes, side eyes, none of that. Williamson Star is non-confrontational. Basically, Williamson Star doesn't give anyone a reason to call her ghetto. I can't stand myself for doing it, but I do it anyway. I sling my backpack over my shoulder. As usual, it matches my J's, the blue and black 11s like Jordan wore in Space Jam. I worked at the store a month to buy them. I hate dressing like everybody else, but the Fresh Prince taught me something. See, Will always wore his school uniform jacket inside out so he could be different. I can't wear my uniform inside out, but I can make sure my sneakers are always dope and my backpack always matches them. I go inside and scan the atrium for Maya, Haley, or Chris. I don't see them, but I see that half the kids have tans from spring break. Luckily, I was born with one. Someone covers my eyes. Maya, I know that's you. She snickers and moves her hands. I'm not tall at all, but Maya has to stand on her tiptoes to cover my eyes. And the chick actually wants to play center on the varsity basketball team. She wears her hair in a high bun because she probably thinks it makes her look taller, but nope.
What's up, Ms. I can't text anyone back? She says, and we do our little handshake.
It's not complicated like Daddy and King's, but it works for us.
I was starting to wonder if you were abducted by aliens.
Huh? She holds up her phone. The screen has a brand new crack stretching from corner to corner. Maya's always dropping it.
You haven't texted me in 2 days, Star,
she says.
Not cool.
Oh, I've barely looked at my phone since the incident. Sorry, I was working at the store. You know how crazy that can get. How was your spring break?
Okay, I guess.
She munches on some Sour Patch Kids.
We visited my great-grandparents in Taipei. I ended up taking a bunch of snapbacks and basketball shorts, so all week long I heard, "Why do you dress like a boy? Why do you play a boy sport? Blah, blah, blah." And it was awful when they saw a picture of Ryan. They asked if he was a rapper.
I laugh and steal some of her candy. Maya's boyfriend, Ryan, happens to be the only other black kid in 11th grade, and everybody expects us to be together. Because apparently when it's two of us, we have to be on some Noah's Ark type shit and pair up to preserve the blackness of our grade. Lately, I'm super aware of BS like that. We head for the cafeteria. Our table near the vending machines is almost full. There's Haley sitting on top of it, having a heated discussion with curly-haired, dimpled Luke. I think that's foreplay for them. They've liked each other since sixth grade, and if your feelings can survive the awkwardness of middle school, you should stop playing around and go out. Some of the other girls from the team are there too. Jess, the co-captain, and Britt, the center, who makes Maya look like an aunt. It's kind of stereotypical that we all sit together, but it worked out that way. I mean, who else will listen to us bitch about swollen knees and understand inside jokes born on the bus after a game? Chris's boys from the basketball team are at the table next to ours, egging Haley and Luke on. Chris isn't there yet, unfortunately, and fortunately. Luke sees me and Maya and reaches his arms toward us.
Thank you! Two sensible people who can end this discussion!
I slide onto the bench beside Jess. She rests her head on my shoulder. They've been at it for 15 minutes. Poor girl. I pat her hair. I have a secret crush on Jess's pixie cut. My neck's not long enough for one, but her hair is perfect. Every strand is where it should be. If I were into girls, I would totally date her for her hair, and she would date me for my shoulder. What's it about this time? I ask.
Pop-Tarts, Britt says.
Haley turns to us and points at Luke.
This jerk actually said they're better warmed up in the microwave.
Ew, I say, instead of my usual ill. And Maya goes,
are you serious?
I know, right? Says Haley.
Jesus Christ! Luke says, I only asked for a dollar to buy one from the machine.
You're not wasting my money to destroy a perfectly good Pop-Tart in a microwave. They're supposed to